Winchester Talking Newspaper, Friday the 17th of June 2022. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I'm your presenter, Roy Faithful. Your readers today are Heather Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
And Jane Harding.
Hello.
If you know someone who's sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings of the Winchester Talking newspaper and the Winchester Talking magazine, or if you have a problem with the recording you receive from us, please telephone Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. And if there's a problem with your sovereign player, please try plugging it in and recharging it before returning it as faulty. The main headlines today and for this week are hospital hit by IT problems, students' art design appears in Hair Art Trail, and primary schools at swimming gala. So may we have the story behind the first headline, please, Heather?
Hospital hit by IT problems. Severe IT problems that paralysed work at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester have been fixed. Engineers repaired damaged fibre optic cable that led to the failure of all computers at the RHCH and at Andover War Memorial Hospitals on Wednesday, June the 8th. It caused chaos at the RHCH. Patients could not be booked in, files could not be accessed, operations were delayed and X-ray sessions were postponed. Staff had to return to working with pen and paper. The husband of one patient at the RHCH who asked not to be named said, "My worry is patients at moment cannot receive adequate care because of IT systems going down and we are not being communicated a plan of when proper care may be resumed." The Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust said that the IT system was now up and running, but there was a backlog of work. In a statement it said, "Since Wednesday afternoon our teams have been working hard to respond to significant IT issues across our Andover War Memorial Hospital and Royal Hampshire County Hospital sites caused by off-site construction work damaging fibre optic cables. We are pleased to share that these issues have now been resolved. As such, we are now working to restore our systems, but unfortunately, as a knock-on effect, our services remain under severe pressure across all our hospital sites, and we are asking the local community for help by thinking carefully about which NHS service may be best for them. As alternatives, please remember that 111 and your GP are there to support you. If you attend one of our emergency departments for non-life threatening conditions, you will experience a long wait to be seen. Please continue to attend booked appointments and other NHS services as normal, unless you are informed directly otherwise. Further updates will be issued as more information becomes available." The crisis was caused when a workman damaged a fibre optic cable at a building site in the Dummer area near Basingstoke and affected broadband at around 4,000 homes. Openreach engineers worked overnight to repair the damage and restore the main connection to the NHS sites. In a statement, Openreach said, "A team of 20 specialist engineers worked through the night and have repaired the main NHS circuit. As a result, the Royal Hampshire County Hospital and Andover War Memorial Hospitals are now back online, along with thousands of homes and businesses."
Noel, let's have the second headline story, please.
Yes, students' art design appears in Hair Art Trail. An artist from Winchester has spoken of her pride at being one of 30 artists featured in the Hairs of Hampshire Trail. The public art display will take over Winchester and Southampton from Thursday, June 16th, raising money for the Murray Parish Trust. It hopes to raise enough to pay for new scanning equipment for the paediatric intensive care unit of Southampton's Children's Hospital. Winchester resident and first-year illustration student at Arts University from Bournemouth, Rain Young was one of the lucky few selected from the Hairs of Hampshire competition. Her design was chosen and commissioned by Associated British Port in February, before the young artist started working on the hair in March. At 6 feet tall, Rain even had to stand on the stairs to paint the ears. I think that's the hair that's 6 feet tall, not Rain, because she's not that tall. She said it was quite challenging, but definitely a memorable experience. It took about 2 months, and when I finally finished, I felt a sense of relief and pride. Rain's uncle forwarded her the competition details, thinking she could give it a good go. Rain, who is a first-year art student from Hong Kong, said, "I never thought I would get in, but it has been a great experience and something I can add to my CV too." The young artist had been keeping her design a secret, but can now reveal that the painting focuses on the natural environment, incorporating both the sea and the land with a butterfly. The 19-year-old said, "I hope I can give the public the message that we need to protect the environment. I think it's really important for our futures and for people my age to be aware of. Being nice and being aware of the current environment situation. Hopefully, now, the environment won't get worse as we grow." Rain used 4 to 5 layers of acrylic paint to achieve a saturated colour before applying 2 layers of varnish to give the hair a shiny finish. The student's hair is now ready for display on Castle Avenue by the Hampshire County Council building. Rain's design will be one of 30 hairs on display across the two cities. The trail will be available for 10 weeks until August the 25th. And there's a side article headed Mystery of City Plinths. The reason behind 2 large slabs located on Winchester High Street has been confirmed. Last week, 2 mysterious fenced-off plinths appeared in Winchester High Street, one near the Buttercross and the other by the Westgate. The meaning behind the 2 plinths was unknown and sparked up debate on social media. However, the Chronicle revealed that the plinths are in place for the Hares of Hampshire Trail. A spokeswoman from the charity behind the trail, the Murray Parish Trust, said, "Yes, I can confirm that the plinths are related to the Hares of Hampshire Art Trail, which we'll be launching this Thursday." I think that's yesterday. 36-foot hares will be installed around Winchester and Southampton as part of the trail. The hares are due to be placed in various streets, parks and public spaces ahead of the launch on Tuesday night. Each hare has been designed and painted by an individual artist, many of which are from Hampshire. Approximately 170 people entered the Hampshire Hares competition, with only 30 being chosen by the Associated British Port to be displayed. The public art event hosted by the Murray Parish Trust and Wild in Art will be on show for 10 weeks. The exhibition will come to a close on Thursday, August 25th, before a final farewell event in Southampton, where the hares will be auctioned off to raise money for the Murray Parish Trust. The charity is hoping to raise money for new scanning equipment for the paediatric intensive care unit at Southampton's Children's Hospital. And there's a before and after picture of the hare with Rain Young in a studio. There's the hare, which is completely plain but very big. And then next to it is Rain with her painted hair, which is lovely colours. And it's got a big collar and a big butterfly on the front. And it's very pretty.
Let's have the third headline story, please, Jane.
Which is Primary Schools at Swimming Gala. Local schools took to Winchester Sport and Leisure Park for the Winchester City Penguins Primary Schools Gala. The event made its return, welcoming 24 Winchester schools and more than 200 children after 2 years of COVID cancellations. Winchester City Penguin Swimming Club had around 70 volunteers to make sure the day ran as swimmingly as possible, with most of the children never having swam competitively. Thelma Hawkins, event organiser and swimming coach from the club, said, "It's lovely to see it finally happening. It's been 3 years since the last gala, and now we have a new venue, so that's exciting. For many of these swimmers, they don't represent their school at anything else, so it's wonderful for them to get to do that. And the confidence they get from doing this is amazing, whether they're first or last." Event sponsors such as Embley Park and St Swithin's School, as well as the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Derek Green, were also in attendance to show their support and take part in the award presentations. The Mayor said, "It's extremely important for the children, allowing them to interact with other schools. They can make lots of friends, it's a huge amount of fun, and it keeps them healthy. It's absolutely fabulous that we can get back to normal now. Everybody's happy and it's lovely to see people enjoying themselves." Nearly 30 races took place, including both individual and relay races, as well as an invitational fun float relay to allow all swimmers the chance to win a prize. Thelma and a small committee started planning back in January. Justin Bradley, chairman of the trustee board, said, "It takes an awful lot of preparation. A lot of the people that are with Winchester Penguins are volunteers, and so they give up a lot of time to put on a great gala for all the local children. As a charity, we have real responsibility to look after the community, so I think it's really important that people see school galas going on and helping the community." Although the centre was filled with cheering and excitement, the event did highlight how the pandemic has impaired children's swimming lessons. Thelma said, "It's been very difficult the last few years where the pools have been closed. Parents have been struggling as they haven't been able to get their kids in the pool, whether it's with school or outside school." Speaking on the day, head coach of the swimming club, Ben Reed, said, "It's surprising how many kids don't even know how to float." Volunteer Lionel Jones, who has been helping with the club for 20 years, said, "Swimming is a life skill, and for parents it means you can relax if you go on holiday or to the beach and your kids are in the water. The aim is that kids should be able to swim 25 metres before they leave primary school." And this is accompanied by three photos, four very happy-looking girls from Otterbourne celebrating the win and holding up the silver cup that they've won for a mixed stroke relay final, and four boys from Twyford School looking equally cheerful with their silver cup. But down below is a massive group of children photographed from above at the swimming pool, all in identical red t-shirts, all waving broadly with their swimming hats on and the goggles holding up the swimming hats. And of course, right at the front is a large inflatable penguin.
And that concludes the headline stories. We're going to continue with death notices and then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor. Then we're going to have first person, letter from Parliament, editorial comment, and then we're going to finish with Bergoram Diary. So, let's have the death notices, and that's me. Brown, Reginald George Brown, peacefully at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 94. Evans, Louise Dorothy Lou Evans, peacefully at home, aged 102. Hebbard, Pamela Hebbard, peacefully after a short illness. Hooker, Austin Mark Hooker, from Littleton, peacefully aged 94. Lawrence, Albert Sonner Lawrence, peacefully aged 87. Scanlon, Bridget Breeder Scanlon, peacefully. And finally, Snell, David Anthony Snell, peacefully surrounded by his family, aged 82. Now it's time for Christian comment, read by Heather.
The Reverend Philip Crinks, who is chaplain of the acting Bishop of Winchester, writes, "Generous June. I am a keen gardener, but an anxious one. Even my family would say a pessimistic one, and maybe that's why I am only really let loose on the lawn. Others have to do the clever stuff with plants and shrubs. Even with my lawn, I am always doubtful. I have a bit of seed. Is it enough? Is this amount of preparation enough? Is this enough fertiliser? And I'm sure my doubt and hesitation holds me back. So my lawn is not what it could be if I had a bit more faith, and perhaps you're the same. And perhaps it is not only with our lawns and gardens that we need to have a bit more faith. We could think of all the gifts we have to offer to God and neighbour. We tend to think they're not enough. Why even offer this little thing? How can it help? We doubt. We hesitate. And this holds us back from being generous. One better habit we've been trying to get into in the Church of England is the practice of a generous June, taking 1 month in the early summer to rejoice in and give thanks for the gracious generosity of God in all we have been given, and to respond with similar generosity. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus teaches people about the kingdom by telling parables about what is happening when seed is sown. First, he tells his famous story of the ways seed may fall. Some falls along the path, and the birds eat it up before it grows. Some falls on rocky places, springs up quickly, and then withers in the shallow soil. Some falls among thorns, which choke it. But other seeds fall on good soil and multiply 30, 60, 100 times. Our yearning to live generous and generative lives can be thwarted by our own impatience and shallowness, or we can be distracted by the cares of the world. Jesus also tells a second parable which changes the perspective. He describes a quietly faithful and patient sower. He sows, then he goes about his other work, then he sleeps. But night and day, whether he sleeps or wakes, the seed sprouts and grows. All by itself the soil produces grain, first the blade, then the ear, then the full kernel in the head, and soon the grain is ripe and ready to harvest. We are not wrong to wonder about our place in God's world, our role in the coming kingdom of God. But the answer is that, whatever we are, our own role is rather small compared to the infinite power and goodness of God. All we need do is to offer in faith and generosity what we have and what we are, even if it seems small, even if it is small. This is all God needs for the building of his kingdom and the saving of our souls. He gives the growth. When the harvest comes, he will be its Lord. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his praise to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown, first the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Grant, O harvest Lord, that we wholesome grain and pure may be. The Reverend Philip Crinks.
We'll continue with letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 836. The email address is news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, and the written address is The Editor, 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. Now, there are 10 letters this week, and Noel will start.
Yes, I have a letter from, longish letter from Peter Rees about a low-key jubilee. The low-key response to the Jubilee as seen in the High Street was very much welcome. Behind all the royalist devotion and hypocrisy about the place and value of the monarchy, there are some very stark facts about the actual cost to the nation. At a time when there is a cost of living crisis, a serious deficit of food for children already born into poverty in the last 10 years, 2 million households dependent on food banks, an astronomical fuel price hike, and rampant poverty amongst the forgotten poor. In 2021, the Chancellor announced £28 million would be made available for celebrations. At the same time, in a different government department, the DCMS announced that £778 million for Birmingham and £120 million for the festival and pageant. The National Lottery provided £22 million to fund programmes along with the Arts Council of England, Sport England and the British Film Institute. For the hospitality sector, food, drink, etc. estimated income would be between £1 billion to £2 billion. Increased retail spending would amount to about £408 million between April and June. The overwhelming loss in UK GDP would be £2.339 billion. Public money has been allocated for specific grants, just to coincide with the Jubilee. how people wish to celebrate in their own way is a matter of personal choice. The actual costs of festivities will be borne by the 26 million UK households, about £38 each. The four-day holiday was clearly not without cost to each of us, whether we wanted it to be spent glorifying the monarch or not. The longevity achievement of the Queen, insulated and protected from the harsh realities of real life, bears noting. However, the backdrop to the profligate public expenditure to prop up the House of Windsor is a matter for serious public concern. Like many people, I am glad WCC did not embark on a jingoistic splash of our local taxes, but instead chose to grant support to many widespread local initiatives. Now the royalist commotion is over, we should at least be thankful for that. Peter Rees, Monarch Way, Winchester.
And Hugh Saxton writes, avoiding potholes. There is much to be glad about living in Hampshire, but to drive, ride or cycle here is to spend time avoiding potholes. A recent trip to Wiltshire shows that other counties, though not free of the problem, can do much better. With summer ahead, we might hope for repair activity on our roads, but it seems that Hampshire County Council have set aside £50 million to deal with the problem, currently estimated as needing £250 million. So most current ruts, holes, dips and depressions will have another winter to get worse, and doubtless others will join them. And that was from Hugh Saxton, Houghton Road, Stockbridge.
The festival is back, write Andrews Loretto. Winchester's annual Hat Fair Outdoor Arts Festival is celebrating its 47th year with venues all over the city again, hosting some truly fantastic street theatre. After a spell of absence from the city centre due to the pandemic, we are so happy to be back and presenting national and international work in the city again on Friday and Saturday. Free, non-ticketed, and once again on North Walls Recreation Ground on Sunday, a ticketed event. In order for the event to take place safely, various road closures will be in place over the weekend. We will be working with Winchester City Council to limit the impact on residents and businesses as much as possible. The festival office will be open 24 hours a day throughout the event weekend, with direct access to the event management team. Should you have any concerns during the weekend about noise levels, public safety or access requirements, please contact us, and there's a telephone number. 07787 097996. That's 07787 097996. Should you have specific questions if you have specific questions in advance of the event, it's a bit late for me to tell you that now, so I won't. We apologise in advance for any inconvenience the event may cause, and really appreciate your cooperation with our team throughout the festival. We look forward to welcoming you at Hat Fair and hope you have time to visit hatfair.co.uk to learn all about this year's events. Andrew Loretto, Hat Fair and Playmakers Director, Play to the Crowd.
Hugh Lumby writes about noise complaints. I have written to you many times on the need to address the menace of antisocial motorbikes in the Meon Valley, and in particular the issue of speeding and noise. As a result, I welcome the proposals by Donna Jones, our Police and Crime Commissioner, to install average speed cameras on the A32 and the A272. I also welcome the news that Grant Shapps, the Secretary of State for Transport, is to extend the trials of acoustic, i.e. noise measuring, cameras. You have reported the anger of motorbike groups in relation to this. I was particularly drawn to the fact that they emphasised the noise issues that plague so many. It seems to me that there is no greater evidence of the need for both average speed cameras and the acoustic cameras than the fact that the motorbike groups oppose them. Quod erat demonstrandum, as they say in the law. Commissioner, carry on, please. That's Hugh Lumby, Upper Meon Valley Ward, Winchester City Council.
And Nigel Burwood writes, Boris bashing. I am fed up with Boris bashing and the boring people in your columns who apparently believe that politicians should behave like civil servants. It is my experience that risk-takers don't tick boxes or promote themselves as paragons of virtue. Let's not forget that Boris Johnson was the first world leader with the guts to visit war-torn Ukraine and walk through the streets with its heroic leader. That after fighting off a life-threatening dose of COVID and freeing our country from the shackles of the EU dictatorship. What a shame that Winchester's MP thinks all that is not worth a fig compared with having a few illegal drinks with colleagues in Downing Street, chronicled June the 2nd. Be careful what you wish for, Mr. Brine, or we'll end up with the oh-so-righteous but terminally boring Ed Davey or Keir Starmer. And that was from Nigel Burwood, Marshall Road, Ampfield, Romsey.
A big splash, writes Richard Chisnell. Could I please appeal to the city or county council, through your good-humoured generosity, to level out the capacious puddle holes adjacent to the bus shelters at St Cross, which give anyone sitting whilst waiting a big splash, or sometimes a complete soaking from passing traffic. I know potholes are still a priority, but I question the need for a bus shelter in the first place, if one is better off standing away from it when it's raining. Whilst writing, dare I mention the excessive speed of many vehicles along St Cross Road, and also the increasing noise of some modified vehicle exhausts, particularly the two-wheeled ones. These local quality of life issues, I suggest, are much more important to the community than who ate and drank what cake and beer, when and why during the pandemic. Long live democracy and accountability, says Richard Chisnell of St Cross, Winchester.
And Simon Lever writes about smart motorways. My understanding is that as well as concrete barriers replacing the existing metal ones, a 10-mile stretch is to be converted into a smart motorway, chronicled June the 9th. Highways England stated that smart motorways were safer or as safe as than those with hard shoulder. So why do motoring organisations condemn the introduction of smart motorways? Accidents and deaths are higher? Why? If a car has to stop because of a breakdown or is involved in a crash, there is nowhere to go. The camera system will not be able to instantly redirect traffic. What if in the outside lane? What if an incident happens at night? Hard shoulders are obviously safer. A refuge lane, I strongly suggest that a smart motorway option should be scrapped for the sake of safety and to save lives and injuries. Simon Lever, Juniper Coast, Badger Farm.
And Councillor Jackie Porter writes, internet issues. I've been campaigning for better broadband in my division for 10 years. As government services started to transfer online by 2005, getting any functioning broadband at all was the first problem. The challenge is now for services delivering a much faster speeds direct to every home. Despite the promises, each improvement in internet speed proudly announced by government only reaches around 95% of our homes. This leaves 1 in 20 homes lagging far behind. If you live in an area with fast speeds, the rolling circle on your TV will be a distant memory, but to many of us this still happens. The Community Fibre Partnership Scheme, that's the CFP, was designed to enable communities to sort out their own service direct with providers registered by the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. This is not ideal, because if services are to be truly universal, it should be exactly that, available to everyone. In June, HCC scrutiny took a second look at the extremely slow rollout of the CFP scheme. The government's Broadband Delivery UK refused the invitation to come along. In the face of increasing uncertainty that the last 5% of homes will benefit from the commercial rollout, I have urged the county, to extend their budget for these schemes for another year, which could help to get these schemes become a reality in our rural communities. More details are on my website. If you have a query, please contact me. and that's Councillor Jackie Porter, the Worthies Ward, Winchester City Council.
Alfred Holmes, Liz Scott, writes about them. Although the Goodworth House development has caused controversy among us locals, Alfred Holmes are to be commended to have included many ecologically good features: hedgehog highways, swift bricks, bat boxes and fruit trees. So although the original wonderful garden has been dug up and built over, Alfred Holmes has listened and acted on our request to include environmentally good aspects, maintaining the magnolia and the wonderfully flowering rambler on St Faith's Road, as well as some large trees on St Cross Road, being advised by an ecologist. They came in with hand clearances initially, before large machines dug out the site, allowing wildlife to escape. Liz Scott, Cripstead Lane, St Cross, Winchester.
And Mrs P. Dollery writes about the problem of car parking. It is well known that parking in Winchester and surrounding areas is a nightmare, especially at Winnall Flats, which at the moment is a building site. The City Council have issued 5 disabled bay notices along the road opposite Braxton House, which is very much appreciated. But the council is under the impression that one is only disabled from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The rest of the time, 6 p.m. to 8 a.m, anyone can park for 14 hours. And if you are disabled, you have to get parked by 6 p.m. or there is nowhere to go. We need a 24-hour parking space, please, Winchester City Council. At the moment, cars, vans and lorries are parked in the spaces illegally, so where are the wardens? And why is it so difficult for the council to get this right? That's from Mrs. P. Dollery, Winnall Manor Road, Winnall, Winchester. It's accompanied by a picture of cars parked in Sleepers Dell Gardens. I'm not quite sure why that picture's there.
And that concludes the letters to the editor. Thank you to all the people who submitted their letters. This week's first person is by Adele Bouchard and is read by Jane.
And she's headed it, Finding a Career. I'm delighted to introduce myself as the newest addition to the Hampshire Chronicle reporting team. Having just finished my journalism degree at the University of Winchester, I consider myself very fortunate to be going straight into a job, and in my ideal industry too. But my journey into journalism wasn't always clear. As you do when you're little, I did the rounds of wanting to be a nurse, a teacher, an interior designer, and still to this day I quite like the idea of being an estate agent. I think that's just because Kirsty Allsop looks like she's living the dream and I just want to nosy around people's houses. I do, however, wonder if I was born middle-aged, as my favourite programme while at primary school was Escape to the Country, the perfect reliable programme on every day after school at 5 p.m. My mum always labelled me a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none. Although she meant it as a compliment, it did leave me thinking, well, why can't I be master of everything? During my time at school, my next options were obvious. That is, until I was leaving Brockenhurst College with A-levels in maths, history and physical education. I felt as though everyone was being herded towards university with little consideration of other options. Although I wasn't opposed to the idea, I didn't want to take on a degree for no reason, especially with the current costs. I chose to take a gap year instead and take my time to figure out my next move. At the time, I was quite nervous, so I became a housekeeper as I wanted as little social interaction as possible, only for my manager to move me to the front of house. This is when I realised I actually loved talking to people. But it wasn't until I came back to my mum's comment that it clicked that journalism might be for me. Ultimately, I enjoy looking into most topics, and with journalism you can do just that. I remember on my first day at university, my lecturer saying that journalists are the best at talking about anything. Well, only for about 2 minutes on each subject, and then they run out of expertise. although this may be true, I'm rather disappointed that my pub quiz performance has shown little improvement since pursuing journalism. Something I have realised during my time at university and from my experience working with a newspaper is just how much a journalist has to do. My degree was broadcast focused, and so each week we would produce a Winchester News show, Winchester News Online, or as we preferred to it, Winnell. For this, I would take TV news packages where I would scout out a story and be both the person in front and behind the camera before scripting and editing it all together. Furthermore, before starting my job, people asked me what I would be doing, and to which I'd reply, "Well, I'll be a reporter." To my surprise, people would look at me blankly and ask, "Well, what kind of reporter?" The truth is, we don't have designated reporters for crime, politics or sport, but instead we all get stuck in with everything, which is just as I like it. I'm so excited for what's ahead for me as community reporter for the Hampshire Chronicle, and I'm encouraging people to contact me with any community news. I'm here to represent the underrepresented as best I can. So please email adele.bouchard@newsquest.co.uk, and the Bouchard is spelt Bouchard.
And Heather's got a letter from Parliament.
It's by Steve Brine, surprisingly. Earlier this month, I was very fortunate to travel to Africa as part of my work on global health. My first time on the continent took me to Uganda on a study tour with the All-Party Group on Population, Development and Reproductive Health. Uganda is a country where the population is ballooning and maternal mortality is among the highest in the world, some 386 for every 100,000 new mums. And 17% of these deaths are among girls aged 15 to 19 years old. To give you some context, maternal mortality in the United Kingdom is 11 per 100,000 live births. Furthermore, infant mortality in Uganda in the first 28 days of life stands at 42 per 1,000, and here in the United Kingdom it is 3.6 per 1,000. Our cross-party group travelled in Kampala and Gulu and the rural north in Luwero and Kabalega in a programme put together by Marie Stope International and the United Nations Population Fund. The figures I have given are truly sobering, but our visit to Kawempe Maternity Hospital in the sprawling heat of the capital took us to another place altogether. Kawempe hosts 2,000 births every month and carries out some 30 caesarean sections every 24 hours. Perhaps no surprise when, according to the Ugandan Bureau of Statistics, almost a quarter of Ugandan women has given birth by the age of 18. They are often much younger, of course, which makes natural birth even more of a risk. The staff there, many who told me they never take a holiday, could not have been more welcoming to our group and just got on with it. But I think we all found the special care baby unit, where very early and very poorly newborns are cared for, extremely difficult to see. As we left, the matron said to me, "I know it looks like bedlam here, but God is at work in Kawempe." It was a beautiful moment, and I'm sure something got in my eye as we climbed on the bus. As a constituency MP and a former United Kingdom Health Minister, I take a very close interest in all matters NHS. And it's true we have many challenges here at home, but it's never a bad thing to look outside ourselves to gain perspective. I previously held part of the Overseas Development Aid budget in my ministerial portfolio, so it was really good to see some of the projects UK aid funds in Uganda. What we're talking about here is family planning clinics in and among the communities they seek to help, where advice and education and every contraception method known are in plentiful supply. Yes, Uganda has one of the highest birth rates in Africa, but United Kingdom taxpayers are helping women increasingly make informed reproductive choices, and we should be incredibly proud of that. As well as seeing the United Kingdom High Commissioner, we also visited the Ugandan Parliament and met senior MPs. I made many contacts and I'm liaising back in Westminster on various policy areas, including the vaccination of teenage boys against HPV, which I commissioned in 2018. Cervical cancer is the biggest killer of women in the country, so perhaps our success in this area can help. Uganda remains part of the Commonwealth, but it's a sovereign state. And while we may struggle with some things, such as the near illegality of abortion, we come alongside them and we help.
Noel's got editorial comment.
Yes, editorial comment says, celebrating local businesses at awards. Last week, the Winchester Business Excellence Awards were held at the University of Winchester. It was great to see such a range of businesses winning awards and being nominated. From the overall winners, Marwell Wildlife, to the winners of the Digital Innovation Award, Blue Apple Theatre, many different types of businesses were represented. Charitable organisations also fared well. Winchester Youth Counselling won the Charity Award for providing much-needed free mental health support to young people. Also, Social Enterprise Award winners, Bespoke Biking, have been going from strength to strength since being founded in 2013. They help people with bicycle maintenance and encourage people to enjoy cycling. One of the oldest businesses in the city, P&G Wells, won the SME Independent Business Award. The bookshop is approaching its 300th anniversary, which will be an incredible achievement. Congratulations to all the winners and the nominees.
And it's time for an alternative look at the news, and Jane's got Bilgaram Diary.
And Bilgaram this week has two items. The first is Cathedral Peregrine Chick Found in Garden. One of Winchester Cathedral's peregrine chicks was recently flying off course and ended up landing in a garden. The female peregrine chick was reported missing by Keith Betton, chair of Hampshire Ornithological Society, on June the 11th. Mr. Betton said that two vergers spotted the female chick on their wheelbarrow and called a wildlife hospital, who in turn called the society. Mr. Betton said, one lucky peregrine and one lucky bird watcher who was out doing a bird survey with me when I got the call that we needed to stop and rescue the female peregrine chick. The chicks are now 6 weeks old and were recently tagged to tell which is the male and which is the female. In his update on the cathedral website, Mr. Betton said, our two chicks have now both taken their first flights. The male, Orange Ring XNC, was the first to take to the air, and perhaps because of his lighter weight, he has already managed to fly around the cathedral with relative ease. The female, Orange Ring XSC, took her first flight at 5:30 a.m. on Saturday, landing in a nearby garden in Cathedral Close. She then hid in a bramble clump, avoiding us as we tried to rescue her. At this early stage, it is important to get any grounded young peregrine back up to a high place so they can be fed by the parents. And eventually, she was moved to a place where she could be safely moved into a box and taken back up to the gully. This action, taken by our team, including the vergers, undoubtedly saved her life, as she could not have flown back up on her own. And Winnie and William would not feed their chicks on the ground. Since then, she has managed to fly without a problem. This is a risky time for the chicks, so we're all on standby in case of such an incident. This week, the chicks will continue to fly around, and they will be enticed to follow Winnie and William to collect food. And there's a lovely photograph of a man holding the chick wrapped in a towel in his arms. And she's far bigger than I realise, stretching from side to side between his elbows, and is looking with a big eye and a perky beak at the camera. The second article is trees standing guard over main road. A question over one of the main roads into Winchester. Thousands of people will be aware of the straight stretch of Romsey Road after the entrance to King's School and before the junction to Chilbolton Avenue. It is often congested. There is a double line of lovely beech trees running parallel to the road. The question is, were these trees standing guard over what was once the main route into Winchester? Did the main road move to the current line some 10 yards farther south at some point? Any information gratefully received. And here there is a photograph of the main Romsey Road at the side, but stretching down next to it on the north side is a, what looks like, he's absolutely right, a beautiful road with trees above it. But it's just a brown, gravelly, muddy surface, not actually a road anymore.
Now, here are a few things which are happening locally. The cathedral is to host an outdoor play, or various outdoor plays, this summer. It's welcoming back Chapter House Theatre as part of their open-air theatre tour this summer. Audiences can enjoy two performances from the acclaimed theatre, Pride and Prejudice on July the 9th, and then Cinderella on August the 21st. Both shows will take place in the Lower Deanery Garden. On July the 9th, 7 p.m, take a step back in time with Elizabeth Bennet and her sisters in Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Austen, who knew and loved Winchester Cathedral, wrote many of the characters and situations in the novel as a reflection of her own life. Tickets start at £11. For booking and to find out more, visit winchester-cathedral.org.uk/event/ Pride and Prejudice by Chapter House Theatre Company. An entertaining evening for the family is guaranteed with Chapter House's production of Cinderella in an enchanted kingdom in a faraway land. Magical creatures and fairy godmothers come together to tell the best loved of all fairy tales. Children old and young are invited to dress in their favourite fairy tale characters and join the Midsummer Ball Dance. Guests are invited to bring their own picnics from home with the opportunity to purchase refreshments on the night. The event will go ahead regardless of the weather. Mm-hmm. And there are two fetes coming up soon. Fete to mark 60 years, a summer fete. An open gardens event will take place this month in Chilcombe to belatedly celebrate the 60th anniversary of the founding of the Friends of St Andrew's Church. The three-day event starts on Friday, June the 24th, and runs until Saturday, June the 26th. It will see open gardens, church, flowers, refreshments, bar, barbecue, hog roast, cream tea, stalls, music, talks, raffle, silent auction, and more in the village near Winchester. The formal opening takes place at 11 a.m. on Saturday by Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Derek Green. Tickets cost £5. Go to eastwinchester.org/ St Andrews or call 01962 43500. And the other fete which is returning is the St Cross fete. And this will return to the grounds of the medieval hospital of St Cross after a gap of 3 years on June the 25th. First held in 1868, the fete has only been interrupted before by World War I and World War II. All the traditional attractions are returning, including stalls, a fun fair, train rides, teas, homemade cakes and ice cream, and entertainment provided by the Winchester Morris Men, First Childers Ford Boys Brigade Band, and Punch and Judy. This year, money is being raised for Vietnam Orphans, the Winchester Hospice, and the Peter Simmons Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme, as well as the Church of St Cross. Jill Beck, the fete secretary, said, "The fete is a wonderful community event, and we are thrilled to be holding it again. We look forward to welcoming visitors to the fete this year after such a long gap." And as a school celebration, Henry Beaufort School will be hosting a special celebration evensong at Winchester Cathedral on Thursday, July the 7th, to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the school. The school, built in 1971, was the first purpose-built co-educational comprehensive school in Winchester. Over 1,000 students aged 11 to 16 attend the secondary school in Hairstock and are now busy preparing for the service, with their involvement being pivotal to the service. Pupils will be providing the music ranging from the Resonate Choir, a musical piece from Matilda, which the school will perform at the Theatre Royal in January 2023, and a samba band procession to begin the service. There's also a give and take. An eco-friendly event will encourage people to swap items rather than throw them out. On July the 30th, the Bishop's Waltham Town Team's give and take store will focus on items, toys, games, books and clothes for under-11s. The type of items that they will be able to accept are toys and sports equipment, games and puzzles, books and DVDs, clothing for under-11s and baby and toddler equipment. All items must be clean and in good working order. They will not be able to accept electrical devices, open packages of goods or food items. This is the third of six stalls that will take place on the last Saturday of the month until October. Each month the stall will open for donations from 10:30 a.m. and will close at around 2:30 p.m. The concept is that people can give unwanted items and take things that they can use. This initiative is designed to recycle unwanted items and to reduce waste. For more details, contact Bishop's Waltham Town Team at gmail.com or visit www.lovebishopswaltham.com. Lighting up time ends on Friday the 17th of June at 4:50 a.m. and begins at 9:23 p.m. and Wednesday the 22nd of June it ends at 4:50 a.m. and begins at 9:24 p.m. We'll continue with items of general news and we'll start with an item read by Jane.
And the first item is Chalk Stream Challenge. A new challenge has been created for young people to learn about chalk streams in Hampshire with the support from the National Lottery Heritage Fund. Hampshire's chalk streams are among its most precious ecological gems. Found almost nowhere else on Earth, these waters give a home to iconic species like kingfishers, brown trout, water voles and white-clawed crayfish. But with their future uncertain, these streams will need champions for years to come. There is now a new way for young people to learn about this topic, the Chalk Stream Challenge. Designed by two local volunteers, the Chalk Stream Challenge is a set of engaging outdoor activities focused on wildlife, habitats and heritage. It is suitable for scouts, guides or similar youth groups and can be tailored for different ages. It combines pre-tested routes in Alsford, Whitchurch and Andover with opportunities for exploration. The activities can also easily be adapted to other chalk streams. The challenge resources are available for free online and include fun facts, route maps, spotter guides, learning activities and completion certificates. Group leaders can run the challenge at no cost with these resources or reward their members with fabric badges for a small fee, making it accessible for all. They can also choose to expand their challenge with a ground stream dipping session run by Wessex Rivers Trust.
New Licoricea book sheds light on her life. A new book has been published shedding light on Winchester's most famous medieval business person. A statue to Licoricea of Winchester was unveiled earlier this year and visited by the Prince of Wales. She helped finance monarchs in the 13th century before her murder in her home in Winchester in 1277, shortly before all Jews were expelled from England by Edward I. Rebecca Abrams has written a biography of Licorisia with a foreword by best-selling historian Simon Sebag Montefiore as part of the project, which has seen the bronze statue installed in February outside the Ark on Jury Street, formerly the Discovery Centre. And it's close to the medieval Jewish quarter, hence Jury Street. The 160-page book with 40 colour images opens a window onto the experiences of the wider Jewish community in 13th century England, a time of political turbulence and escalating anti-Jewish persecution. Ms. Abrams draws out the parallels between the treatment of minority groups in the past and the present, highlighting the pressing relevance of Licorisia's story for modern-day readers. Maggie Carver, chair of the Licorisia of Winchester Appeal, which raised funds for the statue, said, "Rebecca has written a gripping book, which will be both an inspiration and a revelation to all readers." And Simon Sebag Montefiore, who's patron of the Appeal, said, "It's totally fascinating, tragic and unforgettable. An untold story of female power, royal intrigues, high finance, civil war and anti-Semitism." Professor Robert Stacey, University of Washington and a leading medieval historian, said, "It's a compelling account of the life of the most important Jewish woman in medieval history. Easily accessible to general readers, yet informative even to specialists." And Miss Abrams, who wrote the book, said, "Licorisia was a self-made Jewish woman in a man-made Christian world, an inspiring example of what can be achieved in the face of even the greatest obstacles." The book was commissioned as part of the Appeal's wider educational aim to educate people about Winchester's important but little-known medieval Jewish community and the wider tragic history of the Jews of medieval England. The book has a price of £14.99, and there is an e-book also available. I'll give you the number for the e-book. It's ISBN 978-1-3999-1791-9, and that's the e-book of this book about Licorisia of Winchester.
Is there a sustainable future for farming under elms? The UK's farms are looking green and pleasant in the June sunshine, but behind the appearances there is a battle ahead for the future of farming in the county. Environmental Land Management Scheme, ELMS or ELMS, may be a bit of a mouthful, but was widely seen as the silver lining to Brexit, an opportunity to put sustainable food production at the heart of the UK's farming system. But there are moves afoot to derail the process, and some in government would like to see the entire scheme scrapped. While the UK was in the European Union, UK farmers benefited from the Countryside Stewardship Scheme, under which farmers were paid money for two tiers to make positive changes for land and nature. The schemes were criticised for being very complicated to implement, with poor monitoring, and wealthier larger farms often benefited from the higher payouts. The new ELMS scheme has three tiers: the Sustainable Farming Incentive, SFI, Local Nature Recovery, LNR, and Landscape Recovery, LR. The aim of the proposed scheme is to link payments on farms to sustainable land management, with a direct benefit for nature and climate. SFI focuses on individual farms, while the other two are about local and regional projects. Excuse me. Affected farmers will be paid to carry out work that benefits wildlife whilst remaining economically viable. There was a time in 2021 when many in the farming and ecology sectors were united in a belief that we were about to see a revolution in the way farming operated. Farmers would no longer be paid to overproduce. New schemes would focus on developing a climate-resilient and nature-rich landscape, and food production would be more innovative and inspired. Today, the sentiment is very different. One farmer said to me, "Everything is up for the air, up in the air. Costs are unbelievably high. There is no certainty. We don't know whether we can apply for new schemes or not. The combination of high prices and uncertainty about what we can plant and how we can manage land means we are struggling. There is a future for farming, but slowing or reallocating new support schemes for farms and nature because of short-term shocks in energy and import costs is not the way forwards. In 2022, the UK has the capacity to be almost entirely self-sufficient for fruit, vegetables and livestock. At present, farmers are caught between the realities of price rises and vague promises by government of a better future. There is no doubt that we are about to see a revolution in farming across Britain, but one in which we could lose many more farmers to bankruptcy and the pain of selling good quality farmland for housing and commercial development just to make money. Can I encourage you to write to your MP and say loud and clear that this is neither the time nor the place to ditch farm and nature support? Elms must succeed. Without it, nature and farming will be facing an unprecedented and unparalleled crisis, and the impacts will be further loss of nature, further loss of sustainable land practices, greater import reliance, and an economy unable to adapt to the climate crisis."
Now we have Littleton celebrates the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Villagers celebrated the Queen's Platinum Jubilee in style last week with a series of events over the bank holiday weekend. The community in Littleton, a village near Winchester, held lots of fun activities such as a scarecrow hunt, open gardens, history exhibition, film show, a guided walk, community picnic, lunch and more. One of the event organisers, Fiona Davidson, said, "It was a wonderful community atmosphere at our Sunday Jubilee celebration in Littleton. We enjoyed our picnics to a brilliant jazz band, while the children had their faces painted, made crafts, and played lots of games, winning special Jubilee medals. There were plenty of giggles watching the Punch and Judy show. Although eventually the rain stopped play, everyone went away with big smiles on their faces, having had a great time." Littleton was one of many communities in Hampshire to host events to celebrate Her Majesty, the Queen becoming the first British monarch to celebrate a Platinum Jubilee after 70 years of service. And this is accompanied by three photos. One is clearly of the delicious picnic lunch tent, the gazebo, which has two ladies in crowns serving out quantities of the most delicious food that's making me really quite hungry. Another is a little toddler running along the grass at Littleton and waving a Union Jack flag. And then the final one is a crowd of small children with their parents behind them, all beaming up at what is probably the Punch and Judy show and laughing away. And one of them, I notice, a little boy, has an extremely well-made Union Jack, which has been painted onto his face.
Celebrating independent Winchester businesses. A shop local campaign will run this summer in support of Winchester independent retailers and the communities they serve. To support this, Winchester Business Improvement District will promote the city's unique selection of independent businesses throughout Winchester. On Friday, July the 1st, Winchester BID will install number 1 Independent Street, a pop-up shop, to distribute the latest free Indie Winch pocket map and raise awareness about shopping locally. Visitors, residents and businesses are invited to come along and pick up a free pocket map showing over 190 independent shops, services, restaurants and cafes across the city centre. The pocket map conveniently lists all these and businesses and can be used to help navigate one's way around the city. There are window stickers too, identifying the independent businesses from their window frontages, encouraging local visitors and residents to shop. Sarah Davis, Winchester Business Improvement District Manager, said, "Winchester independent businesses have bounced back post-COVID, with some reporting better than ever sales growth. We've seen some exciting new shops, cafes and restaurants opening, with owners choosing the vibrant streets of the city, as well as some well-established businesses expanding into larger sites and investing in their businesses. Winchester is a nurturing environment for over 200 independent businesses who support each other and make the city's shopping, eating and drinking experience special for locals and visitors alike." Martin Smart, who owns Cornflowers Gift Shop, said, "We are based in Kingsgate in the heart of the historic city of Winchester, where we're surrounded by heritage. One of the most valuable benefits of being an independent shop in Winchester is that we have such a diverse range of businesses, providing support for each other and creating a thriving business community. Winchester independent businesses provide unrivaled customer service. Often we know our customers individually and are able to offer the personal touch, creating a unique customer destination set amongst the regular multinationals found in the city. It gives huge satisfaction to know that the major portion of every penny spent in a Winchester independent business is returned to the city."
Celebrations are held at Hyde Gate. The Friends of Hyde Gate gathered on June the 4th in the Hyde Gateway as part of the Jubilee Bank Holiday to revisit exhibitions and displays from the past 15 years celebrating the history of Hyde Abbey. There was special focus on the Abbey's link with the monarchy, notably King Alfred the Great and King Edgar, who put the Abbey under his special protection in the year 966. Drawing on archive material, visitors were able to see a display of exhibition boards from the Treasures of Hyde Abbey event in 2010 in the former Discovery Centre, along with a broader History of Hyde exhibition from the Hampshire Record Office. The stars of the show, however, were the enormous Golden Charter banners from the British Library exhibition Anglo-Saxon Kingdoms in 2018, and on a smaller scale, a model of Hyde Abbey. "We wanted to mark the Platinum celebrations by releasing this exhibition material, which has been hidden away for too long and has nowhere to be displayed," said Edward Fennell, the Friends of Hyde Gate coordinator. "Following the weekend, we have now given away to local residents all the treasures exhibits, while the King Alfred pub in Saxon Road is now displaying in its garden an older collection of exhibition material about the Abbey." As well as supporters from Hyde, the exhibition also attracted visitors from London and Cambridge. "Wow," said one when confronted by the massive Golden Charter banner. Meanwhile, a Hyde resident was thrilled by the model which put the enormous site of the Abbey complex, destroyed in 1538, into its modern context. "As well as being an interesting event in its own right, today's exhibition has shown what terrific heritage venue the Hyde Gate would be if only it could be cleaned up and developed sensitively by the City Council," said Edward. We had to lay out these massive materials on the floor. Just imagine what it could look like if the displays were on the walls."
And there is a whole page article about Bishop's Waltham Rotary Carnival. Families enjoy a fun day out. Families in Hampshire enjoy the Bishop's Waltham Rotary Carnival as a show of classic cars and a dog competition entertain spectators. The carnival, which took place at Hoe Road Recreation Ground, featured a performance from Romsey Ukulele Group, a cake sale, a show of classic cars, pony rides, crazy golf and raffles. The day took place on Saturday, June the 11th, from 12 p.m. until 5 p.m, and all monies raised went to local, national and international charities. A dog show also took place during the day, where they were judged in categories such as junior handling, prettiest bitch, handsome dog, Best Rescue and Fastest Biscuit Cruncher. Event organiser Pete Yeoman said it was well supported. That was the good thing from Bishop's Waltham locals. We had two stages, one with a rock group and another which was more moderate. We made a contrast for them to watch the entertainment. And this is accompanied by a huge number of photographs. That are along the top, there are three dogs, and I think they must have been the young owners group, because all the owners are young. The dogs are all looking very proud, wearing their prize-winning badges. And then there's a group of slightly older people with their classic cars, Aston Martins, an old VW camper van, a classic Austin 30, sitting quite often having a cup of polite-looking tea in a china cup and saucer from their picnic basket. And a lot of the classic cars are also waving Union Jacks. And then there are two photos of the music entertainments. One is of Something Else, a group called Something Else, entertaining the crowd. Three men with guitars and saxophone in rather unusual dress, and somebody who is singing loudly, covered in tattoos. And then also the Romsey ukulele group. A mixture of women and men in hats and red t-shirts and blue trousers, all playing and singing to their ukuleles.
A plan may see the wing of the Guildhall turned into an art school. A plan for a Winchester office proposes to turn back the clock more than 100 years. Southampton University has applied to convert offices in the west wing of Winchester Guildhall into teaching space for postgraduate fashion students at the School of Art. The building was originally built in late Victorian times as the base for the city's School of Art. The university proposes a conversion of four stories of the Grade 2 listed civic offices that have largely been redundant since the COVID pandemic in 2020, as most council staff are now working flexibly from home, so there's less need for office space. The agents for the university, Montague Evans, said in the application to the City Council, "The principle of the proposed change for use of the building from office to educational is for the occupation of the Winchester School of Art and entirely appropriate, given that this was originally constructed as such in 1892 to 93 by local architect J.B. Coulson. The ornate Gothic Revival exterior is a key element of the significance of the building. There are no external alterations proposed with this package of works, and so the architecturally significant elevation and its important contribution to the conservation area will remain unaffected, being preserved. The only objection has come from Preservation Watchdogs, the City of Winchester Trust. It stated, this is extremely expensive for what is little more than redecoration, though not much. It could have been achieved by a simpler and much cheaper process, so we object to the application. The Guildhall was built in the period 1871 to 1875 in the Gothic style. The West Wing is more modern, originally housing the library and art school. It has its entrance on the Broadway, and its name as School of Art is still engraved on the stonework over the door. The West Wing building was built with many large windows to facilitate students' light for drawing and painting.
Nursery launches new guide. A children's nursery in Winchester has launched a guide for parents of children starting school this year. Kingsmead Day Nursery has launched a useful guide for parents of children starting school this year as part of its School Readiness Week. The Day Nursery, based in Gordon Road, Winchester, has produced a downloadable schools guide for parents in the local area to use when searching for the best school for their child. During the special School Readiness Week, May the 9th until 13th, the nursery's young pupils had fun lessons to prepare them for the big wide world. A timetable of daily themed activities focused on helping the children get ready for the challenges of starting school and to prepare them for life after nursery. The week included five themes for school readiness: Monday motivation, a guest from the Pilgrim School, visited to talk to the children about starting school. Let's Talk Tuesday. The children shared their thoughts and concerns about school to overcome their nerves. What to Wear Wednesday, a fun opportunity for youngsters to try on school uniforms and get ready for the morning routine. Thoughtful Thursday, the children wrote a letter of encouragement to one of their peers to help them feel good about starting school. And Foodie Friday, a school lunchtime trial, introduced the children to school meal times. Emily Hancock, managing director of Kingsmead Day Nursery, said, "Our school readiness week was engaging, informative and fun for all the children, and gave them a great lesson in what they can expect and how to prepare for their move to school. School is a big milestone in our little ones' lives, and the excellent feedback we received from the children, parents and staff reassured us that they will be able to make the transition from nursery to the classroom with more confidence and knowledge of what to expect. I hope our free downloadable guide for parents will help to steer them through the preparations for their children starting school."
And here we have new healing business in Winchester. A Winchester woman has set up a company based on a healing technique called resonance testing. Sarah Diggins was first introduced to healing 38 years ago. She set up Amici Wellness, a health consultancy in Southgate Street, in 2020. The business claims to be able to help people with healing through light, sound and resonance testing, which uses a machine to measure the frequency of energy wavelengths coming from the body, as well as offering services looking at food allergies and intolerances. She said the business is going from strength to strength, and she urged others to consider the method. Sarah said, "It's such a useful technique as we can use it to test exactly what's going on in someone and to measure progress. Healing has been transformed into a precision technique with no more guesswork to know if it's complete. We also use resonance testing to do research into areas that are not currently accessible using conventional techniques." Sarah said she believes energy healing is growing in popularity, especially on the back of the pandemic as people search for alternative medicines. For more information, visit amiciwellness.com. And this is accompanied by a photograph of Amici Wellness starter Sarah Diggins looking very happy and positive. And I have to say, she looks no more than 38, so she must have started it off as a baby, or the service is doing a lot of good to her.
Two leopards arrive at a local zoo. A Hampshire zoo has welcomed two clouded leopards. I wish there were a picture I could describe, but alas, there isn't. Marwell Zoo in Coldon Common said it was thrilled to announce the arrival of a sibling pair of vulnerable clouded leopards to the zoo, who were born on Wednesday, June the 8th. The leopards, Tavy and Kanya, both females, are making themselves at home opposite the entrance to Wild Explorers in the zoo. The International Union for Conservation of Nature estimates that there are only 3,700 to 5,500 clouded leopards left in the wild.
Drivers to spend £250 more on petrol. The average car owner in Winchester could face an annual rise of almost £250 in the cost of petrol, as living costs mount, analysis suggests. The AA said soaring prices, which have topped more than 200 pence per litre at some forecourts, have seen some motorists swap their fuel-powered cars for electric alternatives, while others on lower incomes have had to sell their cars entirely. On average, the cost of a litre of petrol in Winchester stood at £1.84 over the 4 days in June 14th, according to figures on petrolprices.com, up 38% from £1.34 over a week in early June last year. Department for Transport figures show the average annual mileage of a car driver in the South East was 3,911 miles in 2018 to 19, At current prices in Winchester, a driver travelling this distance would spend an average of £911 on filling up a petrol car over the year, up from £662 based on prices in June last year. Diesel drivers doing the same mileage would see their costs rise by 28%, from £619 to £796. Steve Gooding, director of RAC Foundation, called on Chancellor Rishi Sunak to cut fuel duty again. He said, "Only the Chancellor can realistically ease the burden on domestic budgets by stepping in and sharing some of the windfall VAT profits he has taken making from sky-high pump prices."
Pumping Ron lives on. A new burger restaurant named after a Winchester legend is coming to the city. Signs have appeared in Stockbridge Road for a burger restaurant called Burpin' Ron's. A poster on the window of 16 Stockbridge Road carries the words, "Coming soon." The restaurant, which will offer burgers, sides and shakes, is named after one of Winchester's best-known characters, Ron Purse, who died in 2006. Mr. Purse was known as the burping man who would push his decorated pram around, especially during the annual hat fair and at Christmas. In a previous interview, Deputy Mayor Chris Pines, who had known Mr. Purse for decades, said he was a lovely old thing. He had a heart of gold, although his way of dealing with things was not often the most sensible. If he knew you had a birthday, he would find something on the street and wrap it in newspaper and give it to you. He was a Winchester character. In a strange way, he was one of the people that Winchester accepts and looks after, and which makes Winchester that kind of slightly oddball place. And there is a photograph of Burpin' Ron's coming soon in Stockbridge Road, but also a photograph of photograph of the man I remember well, Ron Purse, in a Union Jack T-shirt with long, long, straggly hair and long beard, drinking a jar of Lucozade, a bottle of Lucozade, which is possibly which gave him his name, Burpin' Ron.
Girl Choristers hold summer concert at Cathedral. Winchester Cathedral's Girl Choristers performed a spectacular gala concert to an audience of around 170 people inside the acoustic choir. The concert was held in aid of the Friends of Winchester, who sponsor the Girl Choristers by paying their annual expenses and providing bursaries, thus allowing each girl to learn a musical instrument. The evening was described by one attendee as having a fantastic atmosphere in the heart of the cathedral, with another who was joyous after listening to the sublime singing. The girl choristers are all dressed in long red traditional chorister robes with bare heads, and they are in the two choir pews facing each other, with three standing in the aisle at this particular point and their leader in front of them. And two of them are clearly sharing a joke. I think the photographer caught them at just the wrong moment. They're 8 to 17 and they're all from schools in the Winchester and Hampshire area.
Calls for new quarry to be quashed after delays. Continued delays to plans for a new quarry show the application should be put to rest, say campaigners. For about 2 years, proposals have been in the works for a quarry to be built at Five Oaks Farm in Shedfield. On three occasions, Hampshire County Council has issued the applicant TJ Waste with a Regulation 25 order, meaning information is missing in the planning application. Now the application won't go before the County Council's regulatory committee until at least the end of July. Steve Bissell from the Stop the Quarry at Five Oaks Farm believes the application should now go before the council regardless of whether it's ready or not. He said, "It's definitely frustrating. The County Council keeps going back to TJ Waste asking them for more information based on the issues we have raised. They then come back with an answers that either skim over or completely ignore our concerns. But time and again, the County Council is giving them the benefit of the doubt. If there are gaps missing in the application, then so be it. Take it before the regulatory committee and they can answer for it there instead." 78,963 square metres site would see the soft sand dug up and the area filled with 4,035,000 tonnes of clean, inert waste and materials, such as bricks, ceramics and concrete. More than 600 objections have been submitted to date, and the new deadline of July the 11th has been set for residents to give their thoughts. Residents in Shedfield are fiercely opposed to the application, with concerns about added traffic caused by the quarry and the noise pollution. Steve said, "There's one person who has already moved house because the application was submitted. Since then, their house has stayed on the market and is simply not selling. It's not surprising, really. You wouldn't want to move in somewhere and then have a quarry built next to your back garden. Even now, the planning application isn't completed and doesn't answer any of our concerns. For example, our fears about noise and the increased volume levels is still unanswered. The next regulatory committee meeting after the public consultation period ends is Wednesday, July the 17th. And there's a picture of all the campaigners at the entrance to the farm holding up posters saying cancel the quarry.
And now Boomtown street venues are revealed. 8 new street venues have been announced for a popular Winchester festival. After a 2-year hiatus, the Boomtown Festival will return to the Matterley Estate in South Downs National Park near Winchester on August the 10th. The festival, which was first held in 2009, showcases some of the most musically diverse artists, attracting thousands of people, and offers an immersive theatrical experience in a fictitious city. As excitement builds, it has released the full range of street venues that will be available to explore throughout the festival, with 8 that are new for 2022. Among the venues, there will be spaces that are familiar to those that have been before, such as the Job Centre and the Inconvenience Store, offering the inordinate and wacky experiences that are beloved by Boomtown's audience. As well as familiar areas, Boomtown has revealed 8 new street venues for 2022 that will explore new ways of theatrical interaction, showcase musical talent, and entertain visitors. Megan Clifton, street venues and theatre producer for 2022, said, "The street venues offer some of the most weird and wonderful experiences the festival has to offer. Every venue is themed and forms a part of our city. The street venues and the characters populating them are one of the parts of Boomtown that sets us apart as a festival. We're so proud to bring together so many incredible crews who populate our districts with these venues, bringing their own storylines, characters, games to play, and secrets to be discovered. I can't wait to see how people interact with the characters and stories of our city, as this will help shape the future of the festival." Lack Mitchell, co-founder of Boomtown Festival, said, "We're not releasing a musical lineup this year for many reasons, mainly because we want the audience to want to come to the festival and explore it on the basis of the ethos, values and essence of what Boomtown stands for, rather than who is at the top of a poster. It allows the audience to look further afield into the breadth of the immersive offering that we have. We have an immersive storyline that swims through absolutely everything and ties everything together. Exploring the street venues is one of the ways that the audience can immerse themselves into the various districts and worlds that we have dreamt up over the years. We've got some of the most spectacular circus shows that we've ever had this year, and we can't wait." And this is accompanied by a photograph of the Boomtown Festival in a previous year, clearly. And it does look as if it's a sun-made town built onto the venue for the festival, with a huge crowd watching something happening on a stage, not quite like Glastonbury Festival, perhaps.
Kings and queens turn out to pub do. a great turnout at the Bugle Inn, pub in Hampshire Village, held a royal event and raised cash for a local good cause. The Bugle Inn pub had a royal-themed event to raise money for Twyford PTA Playgroup. Tickets were £25 each, and it sold out a week in advance. There's a picture of a very large crowd in front of the pub. The price included a barbecue from the head chef Lenny, who also runs the Shoal restaurant in Winchester Guildhall, and there were lots of participants who dressed up as kings and queens. Some people used the theme to dress as Elvis Presley, the king, and tennis player Billie Jean King. And others came, another came dressed with her face framed by a first class stamp. And with her was a postbox. The organiser, Roger Walker, who dressed as the queen and brought a corgi with him, was very pleased.
That concludes our extracts for the week ending the 17th of June. Thank you to our editors for choosing the extracts, and thank you to our memory stick preparation, copying and dispatch teams. And thanks to today's readers, Heather Thorpe-Tracy.
Goodbye.
Noel Thorpe-Tracy.
Goodbye.
And Jane Harding.
Goodbye.
And from me, Roy Faithful, thank you for listening. Goodbye for now, and I hope you stay safe and well in the week ahead. When you've finished with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet, and please place the correct address label on the front of the wallet too, and return the wallet as soon as possible. Thank you, and goodbye again.